To save money, the Haynes School makes changes to the music program. And the state is set to hold meetings on the evaluation process for controversial water protections. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. The music department is the first to feel the effects of the Haynes School District's shrinking budget for next year. One teaching position has already been eliminated to save money. According to Superintendent Tony Habra, Jason Messino, the music teacher for grades 5 through 12, resigned. Messino has been at the school 2 years. Habra says that position has been eliminated to save money in the budget. Because of declining enrollment, the school is expected to see decreased state funding in the coming year. They're anticipating about a $364,000 budget shortfall in FY18. How the loss of Messino's position will affect the school's music program is a little vague at this point. What is clear is that music education at the Haynes School is not going away. Haber says the program is expected to remain intact as it is right now.
This instruction is super important to us, and music, fine arts, career and tech ed, they are very important to both the district and the community, and we're going to do everything we can to maintain them as is.
Habra says the music teacher position will be filled internally. That means they won't be hiring a new teacher to take on the role. That's how they'll save money. But with one less teacher, Habra says they may have to shuffle around some other classes to make it work.
We'll be collapsing some classes. We might remove a class here. We might make a class only available every other year. It just depends. You know, we have some classes that may not fill up at the high school level, so maybe that class is only offered every other year instead of every year.
Habra did not say what classes or what teachers may step into the music role. As part of the budget process, Habra conducted a survey of community members, parents, and school staff. One of the takeaways was that music and art are important to the school community. Those were the two most mentioned programs when respondents were asked what is the most important to keep.
Music, art, career and technical education, all of these programs are hands-on activities that really help students clarify who they are, and that helps them be prepared for whatever they're planning on doing after they leave our district.
Messino did not return requests for comment by the time this story aired. According to Habra, 84% of the district's budget is based on salaries and benefits. And he says spending can't be reduced without cutting staff. The district is also looking to reduce the cost of staff by incentivizing retirement for longtime teachers on the higher end of the pay scale. KHNS will have that story later this week. Four Alaska communities from Haynes to Bristol Bay have applied for high-level water body protections. The outstanding National Resource Water, also known as Tier 3, nominations have been in limbo for a few years. That's because the state is still figuring out what evaluation process to use. As KHNS's Emily Files reports, a series of public meetings in March aimed to gather input on that question.
Last year, outstanding resource protection was one of the most hotly debated topics in Haynes.
Why classify something, have another law that are dumped down our throat? We don't need that.
Sir, I can't answer that question. I'm sorry.
That was Haynes resident Don Hess questioning Michelle Hale of the State Department of Environmental Conservation. Hale held a meeting in Haynes after news of an outstanding resource nomination for the Chilcat River sparked a lot of questions from the community. The Chilcat Indian Village of Klukwan nominated the river for special protection. Jones Hotch Jr. was tribal council president at the time. He said plummeting salmon returns in the river motivated the village.
I believe this is like a shot across our bow, like a warning to us, a signal that we should do something.
But many in the area are worried about the restrictions that come with the water protection. A Canadian company is in the midst of mineral exploration for a potential mine near the river.
Even though this is a technical subject matter, it does have some significant impacts to communities as well as land, and so that's the reason I think that there's been some significant interest in the subject.
Earl Kraps is with the DEC. Outstanding resource designation is the highest water protection available under federal law. It prohibits activity that would degrade water quality unless the impact is limited and temporary. States are federally mandated to have a process to consider nominations. Alaska does not have such a process yet. DEC worked with Governor Bill Walker to introduce legislation during last year's session. The bills would have given power to lawmakers to evaluate and decide on outstanding resource nominations. But there was significant opposition to that proposal. Some said it would politicize water protection decisions. So in April, Walker withdrew the bills. He explained his decision to KHNS at the time.
We thought we were creating a more public process. Obviously, either we weren't, or a lot of folks felt we were not doing it the correct way. So we said, well, let's push the reset button and start this process over again.
DEC is starting the process over again by holding a series of public meetings. They are March 20th in Juneau, March 21st in Anchorage, and March 22nd in Fairbanks. There is also a statewide teleconference set for March 23rd. To be clear, these meetings are not to debate the merits of whether the Chilkat River, Kokutulu River, Chandelier River, or Yakutat Forelands should be granted higher protection. It's to talk about what process the state should use to evaluate the nominations. Krapp says there are three main options proposed. The first is what DEC suggested last year, giving decision-making power to the state legislature.
The second would be a board approach where a board is formed to vet and make the decision on the nominations. And the third would be if the authority, again, rests with the department or the DEC to make that final determination.
DEC is also gathering feedback through a new Tier 3 outreach website. Krapp says these public meetings mean the four pending Alaska Outstanding Resource nominations will likely have to wait at least another year for the state to figure out its evaluation process. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
A Haines Developers plans to intensify resource extraction work above Young Road and Skyline Drive are facing another challenge. Earlier this month, the Planning Commission approved Roger Schnabel's request for a conditional use permit. Schnabel wants to use drilling and blasting to extract about 7,500 cubic yards of rock from his 65-acre property. He plans to sell the material to the contractors building the small boat harbor expansion. Schnabel already has a permit for clearing, grubbing, and blasting on the property, which he has stated he plans to develop into a residential subdivision in the future. Schnabel needed another permit because he plans to extract material for commercial sale. The Planning Commission unanimously approved the 3-year permit, but neighboring residents have objections. Lenny Fontenot filed an appeal of the decision the next day. A second resident, Ella Bredauer, lodged an appeal late last week. Like Fontenot, she has a residence close to Schnabel's property. Bredauer lists several objections. She says the borough failed to properly notify nearby residents about the permit application. She also thinks the details of how Schnabel would address community concerns and mitigate adverse impacts are insufficient. She echoes one of Fontenot's concerns, that the Planning Commission shouldn't have dismissed many of the restrictions recommended by borough staff. Next Tuesday, February 28th, the Assembly will decide whether to hear each appeal. If so, the hearings will take place March 14th. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. We also have news and announcements on our KHNS Facebook page, so make sure you follow us there. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, so drop us a line at news@khns.org or reporter@khns.org.